Some people look around and see all the horrible things happening in the world and say, I'm next. If you're a born-again believer and you're obeying God and keeping His commandments, you do need to understand that Christians can wreck their lives by breaking God's commandments as well. And so a lot of born-again believers are not really keeping the commandments, and they're in trouble all the time. Yay. But if we obey God and keep His commandments, God has great blessings in store. A distinction between those who keep God's commandments and those who do not. God says keeping His commandments produces health, blessing, and great benefits, and that's what we're going to look at. Exodus chapter 23, verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey the his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. How do you like that? God says, if you'll obey me, I'll take on your enemies for you. And a lot of times, Christians just feel like they got to let everybody in the universe wipe their feet on them. I say, not so. When I serve God and obey God, He's going to fight my battles for me. And you don't want to be my enemy because He's going to take you on as His enemy. And the same thing applies to you. If you're serving God, someone takes you on as their enemy. God takes them on as His enemy. Let me read it again in case you dozed off. Shouldn't be dozing off this early. But anyway, but if thou shalt indeed obey His voice, that means keep His commandments and do what He says, not just in the Bible, but what He tells you personally, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. He tells us in His word right here that if we will serve Him, obey Him, and keep His commandments, He'll even take sickness away from us. Now, somehow, as Christians, we kind of see the word as mythical, you know, or mystical, and we really don't take it literally. God didn't write some mystical book. He expects us to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If it's mystical and he doesn't mean what He says, then He wouldn't say believe it. And He wouldn't say it builds your faith. So get rid of all those ideas you've picked up from other preachers and churches and even family members and go with the Word of God. He says, if you'll obey me and keep my commandments, then I'll bless you. I'll be an enemy to your enemies. And I'll even take sickness away from the midst of thee. You don't have to believe that. But Jesus said you're not going to get it unless you do. Amen. According to your faith, so be it unto you. There shall nothing, verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Dottie and I, our second baby was born with a major heart condition. And God has given us a great compassion to pray for people who want children. And there's been a lot of people over the years come to this church that couldn't have children. But when they started coming here and hearing the word preached and believing the word, they had healthy babies. This is a promise. If you truly serve God, He'll bless you with children if you want them. You need to know what you're getting into because you can't take them back. No refunds. The Lord says that if you will obey Him and keep His commandments, He'll be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries, and He will take sickness from our midst and fulfill the number of our days, says that. What does that mean? It means we will not die a premature death. Everybody's going to die. It's appointed. Well, why did they die like that? Why did they die at that age? I don't know, but there's an appointed time for me to go. When that time rolls around, I'm going, and nothing anybody can do about it. Amen. But until then, I'm going to believe the Word of God. And I'm not going to lose faith because God took someone to heaven. Well, I pray for them, and God took them to heaven. Do you realize what you're saying? Do you regret they went to heaven? Deuteronomy 7:11. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them. Verse 13, He will love you and bless you and multiply you. I believe that multiply your children, your descendants, but multiply you, your income, your finances, multiply everything he touches. He will also, we got a lot of believers in here that's proving that to be true. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground. If your children is not doing exactly what you want them to do, then know that God says that he'll bless the fruit of your body. He's going to bless them if you'll stand in faith and believe it. You need to believe the word of God. And then obey God yourself, of course. Your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the youth and the young of your flocks. What is that? That's your job. That's your job. That's your career. And so he says, I'll bless what you do to make money. Verse 14, you got to keep the commandments and obey him. You might be thinking, well, keeping the commandments is so hard. My Bible says he reprograms our heart with the word of God. We become new creations in Christ. And by our new nature, we automatically want to obey God. We automatically want to keep his commandments. Amen. Verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. Christians should be blessed more than everybody else. Somehow we've been programmed to believe we need to live down by the tracks. Railroad tracks, can you say amen? And never prosper, never have anything. Do you understand that's totally contrary to what I'm reading from the Bible? You shall be blessed above all. Well, that's mystical. God didn't really mean it that way. You may believe God's a trickster, but I don't believe he is. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle, those who obey him and believe his word. Verse 15, the Lord will remove from you all sickness. I believe that. And since God gave me some of these revelations on healing, not bragging, because you start bragging, you wind up intensive care, bragging, pride, arrogance is sin. It'll take you down. But I haven't missed preaching for 43, 45 years because of sickness, because I believe this. According to faith, so be it unto you. I know some people think that's some kind of heresy, but if that's heresy, then what God says is heresy. See, I'm a country boy. I just believe, you know. Hey, I don't believe anything anybody tells me. I believe what the Word of God says, and I believe what I see, and that's it. God promises blessing to those who obey his commandments. He will also bless the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground. You shall be blessed above all people, and the Lord will remove from you all sickness. God says his laws produce health and prosperity, and they do. Even the health laws he gives, if people will live by those, they're healthier. Sometimes the Jews has been accused of causing diseases because they were the only ones that didn't get sick. Why did they not get sick? They were living by the health rules in the Old Testament. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, he replied, Jesus Christ replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. We're blessed when we hear the word of God and obey it. That's what the boss said. That's what Jesus Christ said. Jesus said, those who hear and obey God's word are blessed. You're hearing the word of God today, but you must believe it and not sit there and say, well, what about this and what about that and what about the other? That's called doubt and unbelief. Hey, believe the word. Get rid of all those questions and all those ifs. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah, I want you to see some things here. It's important. The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. There's a reason I believe and preach what I believe and preach what I preach. Abraham realized God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and his cousin Lot and his family lived there, and they were righteous people. So Abraham went to bat for the righteous. Of course, he was thinking there's a lot of righteous there, but it turned out there weren't. Verse 23, Abraham came near to God and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? You see, he is asking, will you destroy Lot with the wicked? Lot's my cousin. He's a man of God. Verse 25, far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Y'all ready to believe the Bible? So that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. He says, you're too just to treat the wicked and the righteous alike. You're not going to do that. And he doesn't. But what you believe is important. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? God would have been unjust God, according to Abraham and the Word of God, if he treated righteous people like sinners. Abraham is asking, will you treat the righteous the same as the wicked? Pay close attention. I got some doozies here for you. Scriptures. God answered by sending angels and rescuing all of Lot's family that wanted to be rescued. You have to understand, some people don't want to be rescued. And it turned out the only ones rescued was Lot and his two daughters. God brought Lot and his two daughters to safety. God does not treat the wicked and the righteous the same. He destroyed the wicked and rescued the righteous. We need to understand that. Satan does bad things to the righteous. It's not God. Well, if God loved me, why did he do this to me? Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. But we take that mystically. We don't really believe it. But I believe he came, if I obey him and serve him, be born again and live by his commandments as he enables me to do so, I believe I'll be blessed more than other people that are not serving him. Why? Because it's what it says. Jesus is a good shepherd. He takes care of his own. Exodus chapter 8, verse 22. But on that day, listen closely. On that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarm of flies shall be there. And these are the plagues, the curses that God sent against the Egyptians because they're persecuting and tormenting and abusing and even killing his people. Exodus chapter 9, verse 4. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. You see, this once again is about the plagues of Egypt. They will destroy the Egyptians, but not God's people. He says, I've drawn a distinction. Even the flies won't bother God's people, he says, in this plague. And there was a plague coming. It was going to kill their cattle. And God says, it's not going to apply to my people. Y'all pay attention. Y'all can ignore me. People have been ignoring me in Knoxville for 40-something years. Just don't worry about it. But please don't ignore the Word of God. Verse 6, so the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. Pharaoh verified it, and he went and looked, and he said, God really does make a distinction between his people and rebellious people who will not obey him. Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, but among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Abraham said distinction between the wicked and the righteous. And that's what this means. And I'm not done yet. God blesses and favors the people who love him, serve him, and obey him. You need to love him, serve him, and obey him. No perfect people. If you mess up, ask him to forgive you. He will, and get on with your business. You see, this is why America was so greatly blessed until a few years ago. After America fought a great war and got rid of slavery, God blessed America like no nation in the world. And it's because we live basically and taught the Ten Commandments. Everybody didn't live by them, of course, but that was everybody's goal. Our schools were teaching and practice the Ten Commandments. I know I was there. I go back to way back. I'll go way back before all this new morality and everything hit, and it was a different world. No comparison. We never locked our doors, left the keys in our cars. Nobody ever bothered us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 14. You have said, now look at this. This is what some of you may be saying right now. You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements? I've been serving God, keeping all of his commandments, and what has that got me? You ever think like that? I'm glad I'm perfect, and I never think like that. You know that's not true. Verse 15, and here's what they say, but now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Look around America right now. It looks like everybody's been blessed except us, God's people. But hey, it may look that way, but God's got a miracle coming for you if you'll serve and obey him. This sounds like today. Everybody's been blessed, but God's people just hang around. You see, they said serving God is futile. It has not benefited us at all. Well, I can tell you there's been many times in my life it looked like that, but I'm looking back now and I can see that God's always been with me. God's always been blessing me, and the blessings begin to multiply. You see, the wicked prosper, but they're saying the wicked prosper, but we do not. Verse 16, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard, and here's what he said. But now listen to what the Lord said about the righteous. Here's what he said in verse 17. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possessions, I will spare them. That's you. 18, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. There you have it again. And thou wilt gain, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. You don't always see it, but God's working in your behalf. Don't give up. And I don't care what your race is, what your creed is, what your code is. If you're serving God, no man can put their foot on you and hold you down. Come on. God blesses his people that serve him. But you got to serve him. You can't be on the fence one day and off the next. You need to get off that fence and serve God. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. It may appear that God is not blessing his obedient people, but he will. He does make a distinction between those who obey him and those who do not. Well, I know these people, these bad things happen, and this person died, and he wasn't very old. Well, there's a time appointed unto man wants to die, and there may be a reason God takes young people out, and we don't need to stand around and worry about it. We need to just believe the Bible for ourselves. And we don't know what they were doing secretly. Psalm 92, verse 12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they will still bear fruit in old age. There's hope for Stan. And I'm older than he is. I don't tell you, he will. Verse 14, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. People have asked me, well, when are you going to retire? I'm not going to retire. Well, why not? Because I'm having fun doing what I'm doing. What would I do if I wasn't up here yelling at you? You can pray all you will, but God's not going to answer your prayers on that one. But when God retires me, that'll be it. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. Even in old age, they will still bear fruit. And Uncle Curtis. And he had one quality. He was a good-looking man. I found some pictures of him not too long ago. when he was a young man. I mean, he looked like he stepped right out of Hollywood. He was a good-looking guy. But he graduated like from the sixth grade, and people said, he's not very smart. He'll never be able to do anything. And so he bought this piece of ground not too far from where I lived, and he built his chicken house. And I'd go over and help gather eggs and work for him when I was 14 years old. And then he and another uncle went together and bought a bigger farm. And then Curtis bought Ernest, the other uncle, out. This is all on my mother's side. And Curtis started a woodworking shop, and he built cabinets. People come from all over the whole area to get him to build cabinets. And he bought a herd of cattle on his farm. And many of them, well, I think all of that one herd, yeah, had a whole pasture full of them. They're worth $10,000 each 30 years ago. And when he died, he was a multimillionaire. What was his secret? He was a godly man that lived by the Bible. They said he's not smart enough to be successful. He died a multimillionaire. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you don't have to die a multimillionaire. Some of us don't want to, but at the same time, God promised to make a distinction. Yes. What are you believing for? It comes back to us. Are we believing this word of God and acting like we believe and acting on it? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Now, breaking God's law can be the fatal attraction. Be careful what you fall in love with. Be careful who you listen to. Everybody is not your friend. The devil's using people to deceive godly people and get them to do things that destroy their life. They may go to heaven, early because they broke God's law, but if they obey God, they can flourish. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, this is Adam and Eve. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the land which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said, now listen, this is how Satan's working on you. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Of all of these fruit trees, we can eat anything we want except that one. So why did God put that one in there? So we would have a choice. God always gives you a choice. Verse 3, but animals do not have that privilege. We get made choices. They don't. They go by instinct. Can you say amen? Man is not just another animal. If you believe that, your mind's been poisoned by secular humanists. You're designed by the hand of God to do great things. If you'll serve him, he'll see to it you do great things in your world. Verse 3, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Of course, he's talking about a spiritual death. You can die a spiritual death. Person can die a spiritual death. And that's what happened to them. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. That's what the secular humanists are saying right now. Don't worry about this old moral code. It's outdated. These Ten Commandments are not relevant for today. Live any way you want to. Let it all hang out. Do whatever feels good. And look what a mess they've made out of America because we have believed and bought into those lies, and they're coming straight from the mouth of Satan. Be careful what you believe. And if you're not keeping God's commandments, don't feel guilty. Repent. Ask him to forgive you and get on with your life. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. You believed God. You see, Satan is lying to us. You surely will not die. Hop in bed with anybody you want to. You shall not surely die. Well, you might get AIDS and die. HIV, AIDS, and die. Satan knows that, or some husband might shoot you. It still happens, you know. Satan knows that if we do the forbidden thing, we can be destroyed. He's looking for that open door. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, air-conditioned garden, everything perfect, and they got kicked out because they disobeyed God, broke His commandment, do not eat from that tree. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because they disobeyed God. You see, Satan is using the secular humanists and Marxists to deceive us and our children. We need to obey God and teach our children to obey God. We all still have problems because Adam and Eve opened the door to their curses. We're still living under these crazy curses, but Jesus came to deliver us from the curses. If we will get born again and serve Him and obey Him, He'll protect us even in this cursed world. Hurricanes doesn't happen because God sent them. Hurricanes is part of the curse. Tornadoes are part of the curse. Earthquakes are part of the curse. These horrible diseases are part of the curse. And Paul says you've been redeemed from the curse. If you know who you are and know you've been redeemed, you can tell the devil, you take your disease and go somewhere else. You're not putting that on me. I'm the property. Y'all pay attention. There's a distinction between me and all the ungodly people around me. There's nothing special about me except Jesus. If you ever get to thinking you're special, you're on your road down. You're on your way down. Okay. The only thing that's special about any of us who are born again is Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that the unrighteous, those who practice breaking God's laws, and it's talking about practice and living a lifestyle, people can mess up, but when you make it your lifestyle, that's a different ballgame. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, those who practice sexual morality, and it can be with people who are married, people who are not married, before marriage, whatever, fornication is just plain sexual immorality. That's what that word means. Nor idolatry, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It says you're not going to make it if you're breaking God's law concerning all these things. Verse 11, such were some of you, and you were washed. Hello. Okay. This was all of us, really. You know, living for the devil. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. And we don't get to take credit for it. It's all the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who habitually violate God's law will not inherit the kingdom of God, but we have been washed and sanctified and justified by His blood, and even we mess up and break His commandments, we may pay a high price for it, but He'll forgive us and cleanse us. But we need to make sure we're born again, number one. There's a lot of people saying they're saved and on their way to heaven, and they're mistaken. They're not. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. They're full of hate and bitterness and preaching hate and always trying to cause Christians problems and other people problems. And they're living very ungodly lives. They probably never were born again. Are you born again? Is there any fruit there at all? Do you love people? The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love people? Well, a lot of these secular humanists, Marxists, and these universities, they're so full of hate. They preach hate every day. I don't know how in the world they survive. It's the wonder they just don't die from all the hate. They're just bitter and hateful and mean. Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. It's not, death is not a defeat. For born-again believers, it's just a promotion. Y'all really need to practice your amens. You need to work on that. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Lord, so that they may rest from their labors. For their deeds follow them. God says what you do for good and do for Him is going to follow you all the way to heaven. I like that. What Christians do will follow them to heaven, Revelation 20:15. And if anyone anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You just need to be sure your name is in that book. No matter how many times you've been up and down, make sure your name's in that book and ask them to help you to stay faithful and stay true. Those who refuse Christ will be thrown into the lake of fire. And theologians get in debate over Gehenna and Hades and all that, but it says all of that will be cast in the lake of fire. So there's a lake of fire out there, and I don't want to be in it, and I don't want to take a chance. Well, I don't believe that. But once you're in it, you ain't getting out, so don't take a chance. Once you're in it, you're not getting out. Matthew 25:33, and he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's great things laid up for us. Not only is there a distinction in this life, there's a distinction in the next. Big distinction in the next. Verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire. Notice he's not calling it hell, he's calling it eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. How can God send people to hell? He doesn't. Hell wasn't even designed for people. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But if you hang out with them and serve them and obey them, you're going to go where they go. And that's what Jesus just said. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you, but he said, that's where you're going. Verse 42, for I was hungry, and ye gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and ye did not invite me in. Naked, and ye did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and ye did not visit me. He says, in that you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. He takes this thing personally. If I mistreat you, he says, you mistreated me. Wow. If anybody have a tendency to be a racist, either way, you need to consider that. When we're mean to other people, Jesus said, you were mean to me. I didn't make this up. Is it on the screen? I was naked and didn't clothe me. I was hungry and didn't feed me. That's what Rick and Diane are trying to do right now, gathering all these boxes up. And their last goal was, I think, to give out 40. And so they're out there doing it. And I'm concerned that we really live by this, that we really do love people, help people, bless people, and do what the Word of God says to do. He says, when you treat people nice, you treat me nice. You did not visit me. When we hate and abuse anyone, we are abusing and hating Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to put the word out on that. Those who do not live by God's commandments will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you'll believe it when you get there. You see, there is a distinction even in death between the righteous and the unrighteous. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Choose to obey his commandments. And the number one commandment is you must be born again. Can you say amen? If we put our faith in Jesus Christ and repent of our sins, then he comes into our life. He changes and transforms us. He reprograms our heart with the commandments so that by new nature, that's what we want to do. I don't always do exactly what's right, but way down deep I want to. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death. You are to pick, and we're picking. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, see, I've set before you today life and prosperity. Well, Christians can't prosper. He says, I've set before you life and prosperity. If you'll serve me and obey me and keep my commandments, you can have prosperity in this life. I didn't write any of this. And when you deny it, you're really taking on God, saying he's not telling the truth. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. You can pick death and adversity. Most people, by the time my age or even before, now the mess they're in, they did it to themselves. They can't blame anybody else. They can't go back to as a kid and claim to be some kind of a victim. No. If you get an age on you, at that point, God holds you responsible for everything you say and do and believe, and you'll give account to God for it no matter what your past was or no matter how many times you've been mistreated, because we all have the choice to come to Jesus Christ and be transformed. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. You must choose, we must choose which way we're going to go. Keeping God's absolutes produce great blessings and rewards. God promises health and prosperity to those who keep His commandments. There is a distinction between those who obey God and those who do not. The choice is ours. Let's stand.